Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Thanks for listening to the Dusty and Cam podcast brought to you by Les Schwab Tire Centers. It'll be the best 45 minutes of your life, I promise. Doing the right thing since 1952.
This is Dusty and Cam in the Morning.
They read poetry at a basketball game.
With Dusty Hera.
It's just one thing, dude. You have to use so many cuss words.
And Cam Cleland.
Nunchuck skills, bow hunting skills, computer hacking skills. Girls only want boyfriends who have great skills.
Dusty and Cam in the Morning.
First you gotta do the truffle shuffle. Come on! Do it!
On 1080 The Fan.
Good morning and happy hump day to ya.
First place, baby.
You know,
get used to it, Mariner fans. First place, and it'll last a day.
Buck mentioned that the...
doesn't it have to last for like at least 2 days? Because you'll be tied for first at the very least if you lose tomorrow.
Oh, good point. Tied for first, potentially. Okay. I'm staying positive here.
For like a week at least.
If you play two games,
you're looking at a week at the top of the standings. The Mariners just completed an opening day win in Tokyo. They beat the Oakland Athletics 9-7. And yesterday at the beginning of the show, Buck said, hey, we may have baseball during the start of the show. We fell short 44 seconds.
44 seconds.
44 seconds short of baseball. That was a 3.5 hour baseball game to start the season. It ended right at 6 a.m.
Perfect.
The Mariners and the A's from Tokyo. 3.5 hours.
Was there any Mariner fans up? Is there anybody within the shouting distance of our voice that was up for 2:30? I think
I saw
Big John Tsukanik take a picture of it. I think he did.
I think if you're up, you're starting to just go to bed and you're not going to be in your car heading to work right now. That'd be one hell of a day if you woke up.
So it feels good that the Seattle team beat the future Portland team.
That's right.
And we're creating the I-5 rivalry.
Already.
In the Far East.
Yes. And it's so, the I-5 rivalry in the Far East. Almost 5,200, 5,100 miles these teams flew each.
International Dateline. It's already Thursday there, isn't it?
Yeah. Ichiro went 0 for 1. He had a walk and a pop-up to second base.
And then the Japanese fans were surprised that he was taken out of the game in the fourth inning.
Well, they were upset about that. Why would they?
Well, I mean, come on. The guy was hitting, 080 in spring training? 080. There's not even a way to say it.
They should just be appreciative they got to see him play meaningful baseball. Because his career is over.
Well, and it's not. I bet he goes back and plays in the Japanese league. He wants to play more years.
His major league baseball
MLB career,
is over.
Is he the hit king?
He had that whole, that's a good question.
You consider him the hit king?
No.
I don't. Because I think you need to do it in the league that everybody plays it in. Like, that's why Pete Rose is still the hit king.
Yeah.
But he's an unbelievable Hall of Fame player.
He is the best hitter I can remember watching. I think that's safe to say. Like, I remember he and Tony Gwynn are the two. Because I don't remember watching Pete Rose. I'm not going to lie. I was
You would consider Barry Bonds one of the best hitters you've ever seen?
Yes, he was. But he and Tony, for his, like, pure hitting, like, Barry was amazing. And it was like when I was younger, I do remember Barry was a phenomenal just gap hitter. Yeah. He was a doubles guy.
Yeah.
And then he got on the cream and the clear and all of a sudden was just jacking him into the bay. Mm-hmm. But Ichiro could just put the ball in play anywhere. Yeah. I mean, literally, we talk about all the time, well, hey, if you want to beat the shift, just hit the other way. Well, it's a ridiculously hard thing to do. But
especially if they're pitching you inside.
Ichiro was a guy who could do it. Mm-hmm. You know, he could put the ball wherever he wanted to. And I was always in awe of him.
I was always in awe too, because there were times in BP you'd watch him and you go, oh, he could hit home runs when he wanted to. But then, okay, he really didn't. So, mm-hmm. But it didn't matter. He would get 200 hits a year. It was just
insane.
It's bonkers. And he would do it with really bad franchise. So I do feel bad for that. Maybe he does come back and coach for a franchise. Maybe he does something. Yeah. I bet he goes and plays in Japan. He said he wants to play another 5 years till he's 50. He's in great shape. God. Another wrong. He just can't. He just doesn't have the juice.
Pelin Anthony brings up a great point. He looks ancient. He looks ancient.
He's
like
old.
Last
45 years old.
Yeah, last year he still looked like he was kind of like spry. This year, the salt has overtaken the pepper, and he's just gray now. Mm-hmm. Ichiro looks old. Breaking news. People get old.
People do get old, and you've thought about the way he's trained his entire life? No way, man. He's got it full. He takes like 1 week off a year.
I think it was ESPN did that really long profile on him last year before the beginning of the year.
He's just in Japan going to – it's 20 degrees out. He's out running poles and throwing and hitting, and it's 20 degrees out. He's in his own park by himself. He rents out a park.
A Japanese baseball league park.
It's all his own.
He and his buddies. He gets like a couple of his friends to come out just so he's not sitting there
by
hitting
himself.
A billion balls.
Yeah.
And he has his friends like shag his balls for him, and then he's like so regimented – he would eat at the exact restaurant every day, the same meal, and he's a machine.
He doesn't have it. He's not married. Is he married?
Yes.
He is married. Does he have kids? I don't know this. This
that
is
was
weird.
In the article.
I don't remember. I've never seen a wife. I've never seen a significant other.
She lives in Japan.
Well, of course.
When he was in Seattle.
That's weird. Is that weird? That's really weird.
I would say yes. Yes.
I always saw the interpreter with, his buddy, and I just never... He just is such a solitary man.
Yeah. He married his wife to this day.
None of us
her
know
name
this.
Is Yumiko Fukushima is her name. Hmm. And they got married in 1999. Okay. He's been married for 20 years.
Has he really? I've never known. This is weird. All right.
Good. How do we not know that about
I don't
him?
Know. I don't know, because I can be honest with you. I've heard Ichiro say three sentences.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I've been a Mariner fan for life.
Well, and that's the other thing about him too, is that his teammates would say that, you know, he knew a lot more English than he let on to the media.
Well, he just didn't want to be bothered by it.
Yeah. He just didn't want to talk to it. Yeah. The media.
Smart play.
Although
if you could do it, you would as a professional athlete. Imagine this. You get put in New Orleans.
Not just as a pro athlete. Think of all the walks of life.
All they speak is Creole down there, which is true.
That's a language, huh? You just made that up.
Was it Cajun?
Cajun
Creole?
Yeah.
Isn't that the what the language is called?
Yeah, it has a little French.
Hell, I don't know.
It has a combination of French and English, and it's an interesting language.
Yeah, but all they speak is that. Would you have preferred your career just to be with an interpreter and you not have to deal with anybody?
No, heck no. I would have learned the language in the first month. Be like, bring it on. I don't need something to
And then go out there saying things like, yo soy fiesta. When Rob Gronkowski was asked to speak Spanish.
Fiesta.
Yo soy fiesta.
I've had those guys come to training camp. I've had Boudreaux and Billy Bob and everybody show up on airboats, pulling up to airboats for training camp in Thibodaux, Louisiana. I'm not kidding.
Reporters?
Everybody.
That is awesome.
On airboats. They pulled right up to the stadium, and the airboats were getting rid of the water as they drove the airboats onto the grass.
Well, good for them. Okay, here we go. Do you want more Ichiro facts?
No, I just want to bask in this moment of first place.
December 3rd, 1999, he got married to his wife, Yumiko. They do not have children. No children.
No children.
But they have a pet dog named Ikkyu, which is a combination of Ichiro and Yumi.
Got it.
So they named their dog after the both of them. So apparently she did live with him in Washington and in Miami. So I don't know. She's a former TV announcer. I've never seen Ichiro with his wife before. Ever.
No, never. I did not know that. Did not know it.
Well, privacy. It's a hell of a thing.
First place.
It's amazing that he was one of the best baseball players in the world, and we never really knew anything about him. Do we know much about Mike Trout? We don't know much about Mike Trout. He likes weather.
He likes weather. He's very wealthy.
He likes Subway.
He likes the Eagles.
He makes now just over $61,000 per at bat, which is higher than the median income of Americans.
The staggering number not that bad. Got me
that's incredible
was the fact that in Major League Baseball, we play 162 game seasons.
Yes.
Yes.
He will be making $200,000 per game.
Yeah.
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 I read somewhere.
Five games to make $1 million?
Yeah.
Come on.
I was reading
it's
that
a week.
If it is, if you go through just the day from opening day till the final day of the regular season, off days included, it's like $162,000 a day.
It's pretty good.
During the season.
Somebody told me that was really good money.
I would say yes. Yes, it is. Okay. And that's Ichiro talk.
Oh, it's Major League Baseball.
To Portland.
Has begun.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And the Portland Athletics.
Portland Athletics lost.
0-1.
0-1 today.
Looking to get that number one draft pick.
Yeah. Did I tell you that my team that I coach is the A, so I wear a lot of green now, just to let you know. I wear green and yellow.
Oh, do you?
Yeah.
Do you feel dirty doing that?
No, I don't, because nobody owns green. I hate the color yellow. Okay. But that A's color yellow, that's not Oregon yellow. It's more of a, how would you describe that yellow? It's a little dark. It's just a little more of
it's
hue.
Got a little hint of gold
A's,
in
A's
it.
A's are gold.
It's, yeah. It has a gold in it, so it's not as bad. It's not as bad. I hate the color yellow. And I've described that and put that at nauseam. Because it's the neutral gender color, and it's all you get when you don't pick your child and you don't have a gender reveal like everybody else.
Wait, you didn't pick your child's gender?
Yeah, no, we didn't spin it in the test tube. We just kind of just happened. We didn't find out with any, and all three of them. She wouldn't
all
let me
surprises,
do it.
All surprises, huh?
Oh, wouldn't let me do it. So all we got was yellow crap.
That's ridiculous.
All they sent you was yellow blankets and yellow snuggies and yellow crap and towels and onesies. And
would you have preferred alternating pink and blue crap?
Yes. I would have sent me anything other than the color yellow.
My wife was on board with the, oh, I don't want to find out until exactly what you're talking about. We started getting a bunch of the gender neutral crap. And she's like, okay, I'm done. We're going to find out. We need to make this happen. And then with child number one, we just got everything pink.
And why is
that?
See, there you go.
Everything was pink.
Why is yellow so neutral? Why is that considered the color? Couldn't it be brown? Couldn't it be red?
I looked this up one time.
Like a lighter red?
I have a
guess. Why is it yellow?
Guess. Well, I have a guess.
Who guessed yellow?
It goes back to the medieval times.
Oh, really? I didn't know they had yellow.
They used to be flip-flopped, like the royalty. It's royal colors, you know? Okay. And it used to be flip-flopped. Boys used to get pink, and girls used to get blue.
What? Yeah. You're making this up now. I don't believe you.
No, okay. I'm not. Well, Wikipedia told me this.
Yeah. Okay, all right.
So it must be true.
And then it flipped. I don't know when it flipped, but they said, okay, no countsies. Girls are now pink. Boys are blue.
See, now I was just going to guess that they are derivatives of blue and red, pink and, you know, so that those are the two primary colors on the color spectrum, the third primary color being yellow. So maybe it's just the third. I mean,
I see you're going science on this.
That was, the color wheel.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
This coming from the Ladies Home Journal in 1918, June of 1918. The generally accepted rule is that pink is for boys and blue is for girls. The reason is pink is being a more decided and stronger color is more suitable for the boy.
I enjoy pink. I think it's a great color.
While blue, which is more delicate and dainty,
I'm not afraid to wear pink at all.
But when did it change?
I don't know. That's not fair.
This texter points out that if Cam is wearing green and gold, that Cam is wearing Timbers colors, and he's now a Timbers fan.
That's fine. I'm good with that.
When I root for the Timbers.
And if Portland does get the A's, that'd be good colors. Although I would battle for that red and black because I'd like to be the combination.
I
would like that. But I wouldn't be upset with green and gold. I would not be upset with green and gold.
I wouldn't either.
Not at all.
All right.
Green's a great color. You know, geniuses pick green. But you didn't pick it, Fokker.
That is Meet the Parents.
That is Meet the Parents from Gaylord Fokker.
Yep. Cam is not swearing on the air. It's the last name.
Fokker.
Simply Movie references, people.
Did you know that they had to find a
family
with that
Canadian,
last name?
And they were Canadian that they found.
They went through every single phone book in the United States and could not find a family with that last name. And then they had to go up to Canada, and they found the Fokker family in Canada because they were going to make the movie rated R unless they could find an actual family with that last
name.
Isn't
that dumb? That's dumb. It's not even spelled the same.
Yeah, I don't know. It's not?
Mm-mm.
Oh. There's you know a lot about that.
I love that movie.
It's a great movie.
Circle of Trust.
Okay, coming up on today's show, we will have NCAA tournament talk. Sean Farnham from ESPN, college basketball analyst, Pac-12 guy. He'll be joining us at 7:30 to give us a little primer for the madness that is starting up tomorrow. Let's be honest, tomorrow. We got some NFL chatter as well as Vontaze Burfict has found a new landing spot, and it's with his former worst enemy. And mega deals in sports, the pros and cons of your team signing a mega deal. But where we start?
I remember it was just like yesterday.
This day in sports history, 1973, Roberto Clemente is voted into the Baseball Hall of Fame just 11 weeks after dying in a plane crash. He died, and 11 weeks later, they're like, hey, this five-year thing, screw it. 11 weeks, he's in. Roberto Clemente, the fastest person to enter the Baseball Hall of Fame on this date, 1973. Oh, good point on the Better You Today text line. Hey, Cam, you're in Portland now. Your baby's supposed to just choose their own color. You know? Why are you making that decision for them? Yellow, pink, blue?
Choice right out of the womb. Huh?
Should be totally up to them.
Right.
All right. We've discussed it briefly, but the Mariners opened up their season in Japan, and it highlighted one of the dumbest things Major League Baseball does. 617 on the Fan. Oh, Bruce Hornsby in the morning. You know?
Oh, man, this takes me back. I love this song. I like a little Bruce.
You know, both of his kids were really good athletes.
Were they?
Is that right?
Yeah, he had, or two of his sons, I don't know how many kids he has. He had one of his sons played for Oak Hill Academy basketball, was here for the Les Schwab Invitational, and then went on to play at LSU. And then he had another son who was a track guy and ran at Oregon. I think, he was younger than us, but he finished up a few years ago. But Bruce Hornsby, big sports guy, and his kids, big-time athletes.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
At the Super Bowl that Cam and I both attended, I got to see a concert from Bruce Hornsby.
Did you really?
As part of the whole corporate deal.
He's so talented.
Yeah.
Just classic 80s. Yeah. Piano.
Yeah. Hornsby's good, man.
And the younger generation thinks that that Tupac song was all Tupac's and he didn't sample that.
What is it, Changes?
Yeah, Changes.
Changes, the Tupac song.
You know
song?
Who else covered this? E-40.
Really? Covered this one?
Or Changes? Changes.
Okay, yeah.
You might be able to find it, but E-40 was actually before Tupac.
Oh, yeah.
Remember we had this discussion and you didn't believe me. You didn't believe me. And
well, because I'd never heard the song before.
Yeah, E-40 had it first, and then Tupac stole it.
Cam opening my eyes to rap culture.
Oh, I'm good. My rap culture from about 87 to 97.
Okay.
I'm solid.
So you're...
Really solid.
You are post Sugar Hill Gang.
Yeah.
Run DMC and on. You good?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Good.
Really good.
Stops around like Puff Daddy in the family.
Oh, baby. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Little Mace.
Yeah.
Getting after that.
The P. Diddy and Mace doing the airplane dance.
It was all good stuff.
Okay. Quick follow-up. 1940s is when they settled on Pink for Girls, Blue for Boys. Nice little article by Jezebel saying that.
The 1940s.
1940s. So baby boomers are to blame for this.
I told you my two favorite decades in life are the 20s and the 80s. But the 40s, intense.
I would call World War II pretty intense.
Pretty intense. My dad tells me stories all the time about it.
About World War II?
Yeah.
My God.
Well, he was born in 1937.
So he remembers that.
Yeah, he was in the heyday towards the end of it.
My God. What a time to be alive. Could you imagine that?
Oh, I know. There's a lot of people. There's still people alive.
Yeah.
Still are. They'd be in there probably, what would you say, mid-80s?
Yes.
That really have probably a pure recollection of it.
A vivid memory of it happening. And
are
then
they the greatest generation?
Yes.
No. People who fought in World
War
II. That's
what I'm talking about. Yeah.
So you were born in like the 20s and 30s.
No
early,
question.
Early 30s.
That's why I said the decade of what the people in the 20s had to deal with.
Yeah,
the Great Depression, and then to be able to fight what it was, Germany. I mean, the history of that I am so infatuated with it. I love it. It means so much. Anytime you watch something like Band of Brothers or all the Saving Private Ryan and that stuff, it is a part of our history that it's amazing. I don't know if we'll ever get a generation like that. I know I'm being biased, but the generation of people that fought during that time, it's incredible.
Yeah.
We owe everything to
them. And then there's people like your dad's age and, you know, my grandpa's age that you sit there and you go, they were born and they have memories of World War II, but then they went off and they fought in Korea. You know, is that where your dad?
Yeah.
He was in Korea.
Like, yep.
Yeah. And then it's like you have, oh, World War II's over.
Yeah.
Hey, Korea, here you go.
Right.
And the same kind of deal with the Greatest Generation where World War I then goes into World War II. Oh my God. Yeah. We don't have that.
We
right
don't.
Now.
We have a different kind of people. And that's like every generation has that, but that's,
well,
the fight,
the fear
and the desire
of everybody having to go to war. My God. Yeah.
All right.
Anyways, baseball. Mariners started the season in Japan. We talked about that at the beginning of the show. Mariners, first place in the AL West. Congrats. And it will be that way for at least like a week. The Mariners will at least have a share of first place.
I'm going to bask in this just for a small amount of time. Yep. Let me enjoy it, please.
Yep.
Sorry, Houston Astro guy. Sorry, okay. San Francisco Giant guy. Let me bask in this just a little bit.
A little bit of glory should be heading your way because you don't know how long it's going to last for. Likely not very long. What if the Mariners, though, went on an incredible run and they just were like, oh, they're written off and they go Oakland A's?
So the closer's Dixon, correct?
Strickland.
No, Strickland.
I meant Strickland.
Hunter
Sorry, I said
Strickland.
Dixon. He is a hot mess and a salty dude.
Yep.
That is exactly, what did I say, Buck? That's exactly who you signed to bring in a tanking organization. You just bring a guy that just is a locker room.
He and Gas D can in the night.
And now, if he and D. Gordon get into it, which is D's a little bit, you'd be surprised. D's a little, he will light a fire in a lot of people. He has a little bit of salt in the wounds because remember the fight that happened last year?
Yep.
Remember, closed the door, about ready to roll?
Yeah, locked the clubhouse doors in, kicked the media out. Was like, yeah. Not so fast, my friend.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mariners are tanking. I know that. They got rid of everybody.
Yes, they did. But if you're looking for the, hey, are they going to get rid of Edwin Encarnacion ever? Because we've been waiting for that one. He went a solid 0-for-3 today.
Yeah.
But he did score 2 runs and walked twice.
Best player in that organization is Mitch Haniger right now. That's it.
Who went 0-for-4.
Yep. Yep.
But how about Tim Beckham? 3-for-3, home run, hitting 1,000 on the season.
1,000.
David Beckham, his brother, Tim.
Tim.
No. Having a great day.
Bent it right around that foul pole.
That's what I'm talking about. But they're in first place. But one thing, in starting the season in Japan is kind of weird, especially because next week is when everybody else starts the season. But that's not the worst thing that Major League Baseball does. It's hashtag season again.
Yeah.
In Major League Baseball.
What's yours? Do you know it yet?
Yeah, it's terrible.
Why?
It
was terrible last year.
Yeah, yeah. First year it was earn history.
Okay.
Last year it was something dumb like defend the crown. This year it's take it back. Hashtag take it back for the Astros.
Take it back. Dun, 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 dun. Take it back.
The Mariners are true to the blue. They're staying true to the blue. I actually don't mind that one.
You don't mind it?
Because that's the Mariners. They're true to the blue, right?
Hey, what are the Giants? Buck, you don't know, do you?
They are hashtag SF Giants.
Which I like that too.
Or sometimes I think they've been We Are Giants.
You get the little Giants logo when you hashtag it?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Good.
Yeah, and these are all the hashtags where if you want your team's logo to pop up when you hashtag it.
By the way, how do you get that? Do you have to sign up for Twitter and negotiate that?
Twitter has deals with...
You have to pay for it,
yeah,
I'm assuming.
You pay for it. Like Toy Story 4 had one yesterday that had a cool little picture when you hashtag Toy Story 4.
There's probably a cool little one from March Madness with a bracket, I would imagine.
Yeah, sure there are. Yeah, well, absolutely.
Yeah.
But then you have, like, I mean, Major League Baseball, I don't think you... Like, the SF Giants, simple.
Yep.
They stay easy with that. The Oakland A's, and I saw this morning, I went, you've got to be kidding me. With all of the
Save our city.
With all of the rumors of them moving and wanting to get out of Oakland, their hashtag is rooted in Oakland.
They're really digging.
The team that has moved
from really digging
Philly to Kansas City to Oakland And maybe moving again is rooted in Oakland.
Their whole campaign is they're trying to go like the opposite direction of Warriors, Raiders. They're trying to appeal to an area that feels like they're having teams ripped away from them. Like, this is the team that we're going to try to put down roots and stay here. But it's a really poor ploy.
I feel bad for those guys. Every time they play in that stadium, how much better would that whole organization be just out of that stadium? Just because of foul territory alone, how many more hits and guys are out? It's insane.
It's horrible. And I don't know if there's... Okay, you tell me. Is this the best one on here? The Boston Red Sox is hashtag dirty water.
Oh, that's good.
That's the best one.
That's good.
But other than that, the Milwaukee Brewers have This Is My Crew.
Why can't they be the Brew Crew? Because that's what it's supposed to be.
It should be, right? You would think that.
It's disappointing.
There are some truly terrible ones, though, including the Washington Nationals, hashtag One Pursuit. The Rangers are Together We.
Together We, huh? That's so millennial.
Together We what?
Together We Ride.
The Angels, hashtag The Halo Way.
Yeah, that's all that should say is hashtag cha-ching. That's all it should say.
With a dollar sign coming up. I'm going to make a bold claim here. The AL West has the worst hashtags in all of baseball. Take It Back, The Halo Way, True to the Blue, Together We, and Rooted in Oakland.
Rooted in Oakland.
I cannot.
True to the Blue is the winner in that division.
Yeah, it really is. You try. Mm-hmm. This is Major League Baseball trying too hard to connect with young people. Like, that's the one thing that they need to do is connect with young people. They're trying way too hard when your hashtags are pinstripe pride. Like, the Yankees don't need anything catchy. It's Yankees.
Yeah.
If you hashtag Yankees, that should be good enough for you.
Well, they're trying to be unique. Baseball's trying to talk to us. They're trying to give us a little something extra.
Well, if you're a Miami Marlins fan, you can Juntos Miami.
Okay.
Juntos Miami.
Juntos.
I have no idea.
Together.
Idea what that means. Together?
Mm-hmm. Okay. If you're going somewhere together, you go conjuntos with us.
All right.
Dirty water, baby.
Dirty water, best one by far. 55305 is the Better You Today text line. Pros and cons of mega deals in pro sports. Jason Stark of ESPN has an incredible stat on free agency this year in Major League Baseball. Is it worth what you're paying your stars? Here's Buck with SportsCenter.
Let's get texty.
I left a message.
A message? What number did you call?
2-4-9-5-6-7-8.
I can't hear you. You're trailing off. And did I catch a niner in there? Were you calling from a walkie-talkie?
No, it was cordless.
Text us now at 55305. Message and data rates may apply.
Just want to leave my number. Anyway, I think that was weird or desperate.
This is Textual Relations on the show that likes to be, over text. Dusty and Cam in the morning on 1080.
The brain of that person to actually say that?
The Fan.
55305. That is the Better You Today text line. Dusty here, Cam Cleland with you. Mike Trout signed a 12-year, $430 million deal yesterday to stay in L.A. with the Angels until he's 39 years old. It's a lot of cash, man, for Mike Trout. And this stat from Jason Stark was absolutely mind-blowing to me. Yesterday, the Athletic's Jason Stark said, Mike Trout, Bryce Harper, Manny Machado, and Nolan Arenado signed $1.32 billion worth of contracts for just four guys. The Tampa Bay Rays total payroll in franchise history is $1.01 billion. 21 seasons, they have not paid a total of $1.32 billion. That's what four guys made this year in free agency alone.
So what we're asking for during this time is with this kind of money now being thrown out, and we've seen it, $430 million, $330. You look at Giancarlo Stanton at $325. You get to see Manny Machado and everybody that's had large deals from the Robinson Cano deal to prior scene in Alex Rodriguez. The originators of these deals, Albert Pujols, who sits there with the Angels now with Mike Trout, just in two guys, the amount of money that's invested in two guys. I ask pros and cons of, is this the reason why these teams, the originator of these teams, have never turned into a championship? Because you could say the Alex Rodriguez deal, but no. I'm sorry. When Texas offered that original deal, they didn't get what they wanted. They didn't get a championship in Texas. And you look at how it's maneuvered. Did Giancarlo get one in Miami? No, he didn't. They moved him off to the Yankees. And the Yankees don't count because then Alex Rodriguez got his extension of $275, but Texas didn't get it. Certainly when Mariners dumped him, they weren't going to pay for it. So pros and cons of this, if you're looking the way I'm looking at it, here's what I knew to own up. What I do know about baseball sitting right now is that 38 is the magic number everybody feels in Major League Baseball, at least executives feel, is the cap year where they say that's about where we want to give a guy. That's where we want to end. From Bryce Harper ending at 38 years old,
okay,
his deal ending at 38 years old. Now you're looking at Mike Trout, his deal ending at 38 years old. That's kind of where everybody feels comfortable. They're not going to put it into the 40s. At 38, still should be pretty good at 38. Mm-hmm. Do you stay motivated? So I use the comparison of multiple other sports, basketball, looking at these deals that get 4 to 5. LeBron James signs a 4-year deal. He still gets a lot of money. I think what his deal was $160 million. Okay. You see the way football does it, and you know that football's lifespan's a lot smaller, bigger numbers. Do Major League Baseball players stay hungry for 12, 13 years? Are they going to have that kind of motivation? Is it destructive to have these long-term deals? I'm not going to tell you that I'm going to get in the wallet of anybody. You're worth what somebody's willing to pay you. Mm-hmm. Mike Trout has the greatest WAR in the history of this game. He's already, I think he's at 275 home runs. He's way past Barry Bonds already. Is he worth it? Well, $36 million a year. Is
that,
he worth it?
That kind of goes down to the criteria of what is worth it. You know, what is worth it in Major League Baseball? I mean, obviously, a World Series would be worth it. Is one World Series worth the 13 years and $430 million? Well, on top of just being a World Series champion, the revenue that Mike Trout can bring into a club like the Angels is, I mean, it's got to be valued at over $500 million, because why else would you pay him $430 million, right?
Because they signed a $3 billion television contract.
Well, no doubt about it. Yeah. But his value to that franchise could be exponentially more than his $430 million contract. But where is it? Where does that line draw? Because these contracts, they never see the end of them. I mean, you mentioned all those guys. All those
on the
guys
same
who get,
team is
who
what
get
you're
traded.
Saying.
Yeah. Yes, who guys who get traded. Alex Rodriguez, he was dealt. Stanton got dealt. Albert Pujols is sitting there, and he may be the first one that we see that kind of sees the end of his mega deal with the Angels, because he's got a couple years left, mm-hmm, unless they just cut him. But they're still going to have to pay him even if they do, because there's not going to be any takers for Albert Pujols' ridiculous contract that he has.
But that's my biggest, the yeah, but of this, is how do you keep these guys? And if you look at Mike Trout, he's not replaceable. Okay, no. The best player in Major League Baseball, you can't go out and find that. Could you find 6 or 7 guys that could do a few things? And it could be an on-base guy, that could be a home run guy. You could replace one with maybe 5 that are good, but not the kind of tool player that he is. There's no way. So the investment is worth it. It's absolutely worth it. My question is, for moving forward, is that $36 million sits right now. When Mike Trout turns 33 and 34, he's still got 5 years left on his deal. Doesn't it sound like it is a deal for the Angels?
On an annual
Doesn't it
contract,
sound like it is?
On an annual average salary basis.
What if he's not producing?
It absolutely is. And that's why, you know, baseball probably sets it up the best for the players and the teams in this regard, that they can have these 12-year contracts, because you can keep your star in town, you appease your fan base, you can keep the number one talent overall, but it won't hamstring you year to year with the salary cap that you have in the NBA and NFL, and the fact that you're going to be paying these guys long term and after their careers are really the peak of it's done. Mike Trout will not be performing at 35 like he is at 27.
Are we sure?
I mean, there's
feel pretty comfortable about
I
that.
I feel very comfortable saying that he won't be the generational talent at 35 that he is at 27 right now, because
naturally you're just going to
get older.
But what if there's something genetically, or there's some sort of things that Major League Baseball allows
steroids.
Something. Well, not just steroids. Maybe it's growth hormone. Maybe there's things that changes in a few years. We have no idea. Did you think that you were ever going to see guys throwing 103, 104 consistently?
But yeah, no, you didn't. But those guys aren't doing it at 35 years old. You know, and that's one of the things, is that what makes Mike Trout so good and makes him worth every penny of it is that combination of everything that you were talking about, the 5-tool. He's got an insane glove. His bat speaks for itself. He's got speed. He has everything you could ask for, explosiveness in a player. And over time, that just catches up with you, and you slow down a little bit, little by little. 55305, the Better You Today text line. The pros and cons of the mega deals in sports, including Mike Trout. What are yours? Dustin Cam on the Fan. Better You Today text line, 55305. We're talking mega deals in baseball especially. I mean, you see Mike Trout, 12 years, $430 million. The A-Rod, $275. He got a World Series ring, though, in New York.
But not
with that one. On a $275 million deal, which was the richest at the time.
We use the Yankees as a they're an exception to the rule.
No. No, because baseball is so weird. It's the only sport that we don't sit there and we don't judge you on how many rings you make or how many rings you win over your career.
Okay.
When we talk about the all-time greats, it doesn't matter how many rings you won. When we talk about Nolan Ryan in baseball, you're not talking about how many rings he won. You're talking about the dominance of the player.
Well, that's why I say the Yankees are in it their own class, because, of course, I don't use the example of the Yankees because everybody, you have 27 world championships. That's just it to use. They are in their own class. Everyone else after that, it's kind of like, all right, you just said, well, Alex Rodriguez got it, 275 with the Yankees. Well, you're a proponent. Certainly, because the proof is in the pudding of what Houston was able to do with not a bloated payroll and tanking their way into it. So you can't tell me that there aren't multiple ways to skin a cat when you win in Major League Baseball. But if you have a generational player, I can't argue that sitting here and telling me that Mike Trout's not worth that money because someone's willing to pay it.
Yeah, and you pay that money to keep him there, hoping you can put a roster together around him, but that doesn't diminish
him. What did Houston pay?
Well, hold on. That doesn't diminish your talent if you don't win a ring. Like, if Mike Trout never wins a ring and he's an Angel his entire career, his career won't be diminished because of it. Like, every other – Dan Marino is a guy where we sit there and people try to knock Dan Marino's career because he never won a ring. Charles Barkley never won a ring, and we hear it every single Thursday night on TNT with him and Shaq. How many rings you win, Chuck? Baseball, we don't have that feeling about it, so these deals don't seem like they're horrible because you just try to keep the generational talent in your city.
But you have to be able to pay for your talent, and bad organizations don't keep their talent. They don't. That's why the Mariners have never been able to get over the hump. They can't. They don't. They never got to the point where they kept their talent. The Hall of Famers that have come out of that place, the Yankees can keep their talent. They can do it. Other teams are going to overpay because the Yankees can afford it, and Boston can afford it, and they'll overpay for David Price. They'll give him a $200 million lefty contract. I mean, that's just what you do. But then you look at it from the Angels' perspective. They're cash flush, man. They sell out. Mm-hmm. They're a big market.
A $3 billion television deal?
Yeah.
Well,
why wouldn't you pay for Mike Trout? You'd have to.
But
you
there's to. There's this thing, like you mentioned Houston. They built through the analytics, and then you have Oakland. Could you imagine Oakland if they were willing to pay the talent that they've brought in and let them walk? They would have won a World Series. Like, Billy Beane's doing this analytics thing with one hand behind his back.
I can't feel comfortable with that. I can't say would have, because until it really happens and you see it, that's why Houston is an exception. They are very good at it, but they have talent that they held on to in the right frame, and they built a great pitching roster, and they had a great roster. They have a great roster.
Well, yeah.
You can't just say the A's would have.
Well, and that's the thing. But you let guys like Josh Reddick and Yoenis Cespedes, you let all of these guys just walk for nothing.
Yeah.
And
Josh Donaldson. Because, all these guys.
Yeah, Donaldson, because they didn't want to pay them.
Yeah.
And that's the thing, is building that roster. That's how you do it, is you keep them around. You know, you keep those guys around, but anytime it came to pony up some cash, they just said, all right, see ya. And that's why I think these contracts are worth it to keep a guy like Mike Trout, is because he's the centerpiece of that.
When Major League Baseball is going to have $10 billion in revenue, they're not going anywhere because it's such a regional sport. But we will say that, and I do believe that baseball has it. I mean, it's number two in revenue. It's ahead of the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And you're chasing the NFL, but you're never going to catch the NFL. NFL creates a sense of urgency.
Yeah.
Because the games are so short. The seasons in your careers are not very long. It is a what have you done for me league. We could use the Patriots. As soon as you get high on the hog, you're gone.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, they'll keep a couple guys, but as soon as you try to stay, not going to happen. Yeah. We're going to move on. But that's not realistic in Major League Baseball. And the Yankees feel the same way, too, is that as soon as you get high in the hog, they just pay you more. They have the they are the opposite of the Patriots.
Right. And this is kind of one of the things where it all comes down to one thing that the Yankees have is a very functional front office. The Red Sox, functional front office. There's a lot of dysfunction. Mm-hmm. Rangers, Mariners, for example. And P1 Jordan says the reason the teams don't win titles with these bloated contracts is twofold. One, dysfunctional front office, which is why they don't have a good team to begin with. Number two is that they always lose that generational player. They'll have nothing to draw fans and they overpay. It's not the contract hurts them. It's the front office. The Red Sox overpay and they just won a title.
Right.
You know, like you can do it. But you have to have guys in the front office. We talk about quarterbacks in the NFL. It's hard to find 32. It's hard to find 30 GMs that have their S together
in baseball.
Oh, my gosh.
Are you kidding me? Right.
You know?
We've been very lucky this decade to have some great World Series champs. You've had Kansas City that built it their way.
Giants.
They figured out the Giants have done it. Houston did it. You get to see all these different styles and ways to win and get there in the end, and that's what makes it interesting. But the Dodgers are relevant. The Cubs got off the schneid, and they found a way to do it with young generational talent, but now they're fighting over who to pay.
Yeah, and that, but will
and
they
I
be
said
able to
yesterday,
pay them
all? And I'm going to bring this up because I think it's fair to say, is that you can defend it all you want to do that.
I will.
Bregman got a longer deal, and he went to his arbitration deal, but $100 million.
Pre-arbitration
He gets
deal.
A pre-arbitration deal, but Houston's not going to be a team. I feel confident that Houston's not going to be a team that's going to get into these 10-year, hundreds of millions of dollar contracts. I feel like Houston, there's no way with under this regime, they're going to feel like they can build it again. They'll just tear it down and rebuild. I don't believe they're going to get into this dance.
Astro Ball, the book Astro Ball kind of breaks it all down, which is once you get there, you keep it there. And they're gonna be in the business of signing guys to deals and then trading them for prospects a lot of times. And that's kind of how it outlines it. And that Bregman deal was the second highest pre-arbitration deal ever, only to Mike Trout.
But it seems cheap, doesn't it?
It's $100 million for 5 years.
It's a cheap deal.
He's looking to make his payday the same way Trout did. Once he hits 27, he'll play 3 years of this deal. Yeah. Hits 27, boom. That's when you get your big money. But Carlos Correa's coming up. They just got Jose Altuve for a steal of a deal at $152 million or $157 million.
Sounds like a steal, right? Correa will get bigger money, but he's not going to get $300 million. They're not going to give him that kind of money.
No. That's going to be the thing, is what happens with a lot of these teams that are building the analytic way, like the Cubs are too. Like you just said, the Cubs got to figure out who they're going to pay. Mm-hmm. I loved Chris Bryant's comment yesterday when he found out that Artie Moreno bought the Angels for $187 million. He goes, Mike Trout could buy that twice.
Twice. I love the money's out there. Bring it to Portland because when Portland gets their baseball team, I got no problems paying $250, $300 million, wherever you want. Who's going to be the free agent Bregman.
Bregman will be.
Bring him a free agent here, huh? We're taking that?
In about 5 years.
Liking the sounds of it?
I'd love Bregs.
Okay.
Here.
Somebody needs a superstar.
All right. 55305, some of your feedback coming up next. Plus, next hour, we got Sean Farnham, ESPN college basketball analyst. Farnham's awesome on the Pac-12, Big 12, and all things college hoops, getting you set for a big tourney run. Plus, how much will it cost you to get Tom Brady to sign your forehead? Dustin Cam on the Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.